There is a lot of information, a lot of spiritual revelation that is going forth from the heart of God in this hour. When we hear these revelations, great mysteries, things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world, there is a tendency to initially get excited. See, it's so wonderful. See, you are caught up in this excitement, and the months go by, the years go by, and you begin to wonder, what about the fulfillment of these things that you've heard? Because we are not called to just hear the hidden things of God, but rather we are called to enter into the hidden realm of God. We hear as a witness to that which is true, to that which is beyond the veil of human reasoning. Then the intention is that we enter in and be partakers of God's glory. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" Hallelujah. Now that is the question today. Who shall ascend? Who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? And who shall stand upon the pinnacle of God's holy hill? Who shall stand in this holy place? See, that is the question out there today. Who shall ascend? Ascension is the essence of all that God is, you know, doing in our lives today. He expects that every child of God is able to comprehend his origin in that dimension of pure light. And as we begin to comprehend this mystery, there has to be an ascension that goes with it. So it says, who shall ascend? Who shall ascend the lower places of the earth, where men dwell? Who shall ascend on the wings of the Spirit and stand in this holy place? Hallelujah. There's an ascension and there is a standing, abiding firm in that holy place throughout all eternity. Who? I'll go on Psalm 24 verse 4. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Praise God. I'll just stop there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who shall ascend into the place of God's blessing? Because God has commanded the blessing. Not just blessings, the blessing. See, the ultimate, the fullness of everything that God is rests with those who can ascend and stand in that holy place upon Mount Zion. Praise God. But who shall ascend? See, who shall dare to ascend this place? Praise God. It's those with clean hands. Those who have not lifted their souls to vanity. You know what vanity talks about? It talks about those who have not, you know, united themselves to this temporal order, this world that we see today. See, the major reason many people are unable to ascend. Many multitudes are still standing in the valley of decision. Many understand this message. Many can recognize the voice of the Spirit as it goes forth. But many are unable to, you know, to ascend because they are not willing, or they are unable rather, to let go of their attachment to this natural material realm. You see, but this world that we see, we're talking of the natural realm, the realm of man. It's nothing like a bucket of dust in the hand of the Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. It's like a speck of dust. These things that men treasure, these things that men hold on to, it's just like a speck of dust in the hand of the Almighty. See, but we have become so, most men in our humanity, we became so debased. We descended so low See, and somehow we have clung to the things upon the earth. You see, and most people are still unable to comprehend the fact that these things are temporal. The days come when you awake and you suddenly realize that the things that you thought you had was simply an illusion. Something they can make a name for themselves, something they can gather riches unto themselves. See, some people, people think they can, you know, kind of gain something on the earth, but if you hear the voice of the Spirit and understand the voice of the Spirit, you will know that He's telling you to ascend. Leave the lower places of the earth. Ascend that level of mortal man. Transcend that dimension. And get back into the dimension of pure spirit. Because that is the realm that God has commanded the blessing. I think we've read this thing here in Psalm chapter 24. Verse 5, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Praise God. This is not just any type of blessing. It's not any type of righteousness also. It's a righteousness from God. See, it is that righteousness that we possess from the foundation of the world that causes us to access the very throne of God without hindrance. Hallelujah. Everyone who ascends upon Mount Zion is clothed with that garment of righteousness. Hallelujah. Paul got this revelation of that righteousness to come. See it. When he says that he has left all, that he may be found in Christ, that he might obtain that righteousness of God, not by works, but that which is of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the ultimate of God's blessing rests with those who can get this mystery and ascend. Hallelujah. And as you ascend, you will discover yourself awakening in the likeness of Him that generated you. So you will discover that you are the express image of the Lord Himself, the Lord from heaven. Open your gates. Hallelujah. Eternal doors, eternal gates, eternal tunnels, eternal entrance. Open. Be lifted up. Be lifted up as the sons of God. You know, enter into God's kingdom. Be lifted up as the sons of God. Ascend upon God's holy hill. Hallelujah. Only in this ascension that we can rediscover this great mystery. Hallelujah. That the fullness of God flows through us like a stream. Hallelujah. John the Apostle, or John the Baptist, says that the anointing of God rests in the Son without measure. Are you listening? Without measure. That's why we're talking of the fullness of God dwells in the Son. That is the Lord. See, that is you and I in the ascension. You and I in the resurrection. You and I in truth. Praise God. So who shall ascend? This is the question today. These are the people God is seeking. Praise God. Those who can ascend by faith, begin to work out your salvation. Hallelujah. By faith, begin to build your ark like Noah and begin to ascend to that high mountain. See, by faith, ascend into the everlasting hills like Lot, who left the lower places of Sodom and Gomorrah. All these are allegories of you and I in the ascension. Praise God. Remember when Noah finally came out of the ark. Incidentally, his ark rested upon Mount Ararat, which was the highest mountain around that territory at that time. Allegorically speaking, God was pointing to his everlasting hill, which we call Mount Zion. That is God's holy place. And when Noah stepped out of that ark, God was showing us a new man who enters into the blessing of God. Because God pronounced blessings upon Noah. That same blessing that we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God blessed man and, you know, told man to be fruitful and to multiply and to have dominion over all the beasts of the field and to prosper in all that he does, that same blessing was bestowed upon Noah. Hallelujah. But Noah had to ascend. Hallelujah. Noah had to ascend. Hallelujah. Noah had to leave that life, illusory life that he had upon the earth. See, it cost Noah everything that he had. It cost Noah the name that he had built upon the earth. It cost Noah his business. It cost Noah his family, extended family members and all that. It cost Noah his friends. It cost Noah his ambitions in that world as he entered into that ark. Hallelujah. How many of us can ascend? The question is out there today. Who shall ascend? Who shall ascend the holy hill of God? Who shall ascend into that place and receive the blessings? Those who have not lifted their souls to vanity. Those who have divorced themselves from this world. See, those who have gotten a revelation of the mystery of true life in the spirit, of the mystery of their existence in the spirit from the foundation of the world, these are the ones who can ascend back into that place of blessings. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who will ascend? Oh, hallelujah. Who will inherit the new name of the Lord? See, because we know the promise says that even though we are born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Praise God. The earlier we realize this, the better. Even though we have borne the image of the mortal man of the dust, even though we have, you know, put on material consciousness, see, even though we have walked like the beasts of the earth, see, who do not truly have knowledge, we shall also walk in the image of God. Hallelujah. Because that second man, that image from heaven, that image that we bear in the ascension, is the Lord from heaven. Praise God. For in the ascension, there is only one man. We all enter into that oneness that is not understood in this dimension called the world. Oh, hallelujah. But there has to be an ascension. Many people are still not fruitful. Many people have not found the joy of their salvation. Many have not been able to maintain their victory. Because they have not still come to terms with the fact that the life upon the earth is illusory. Hallelujah. They've not still gotten the revelation that you have to let go of all. You have to leave all, everything. your attachments upon the earth. See, those things that you call your relations, your brothers, your sisters upon the earth, your family members, you have to come to the place where you know in your heart that those relations are just for a moment. You will do good if you can simply preach the gospel to them. Manifest the love of God to them. Reveal the truth to them. And avert them of coming disaster if they do not hearken, see, to the lovable call of the Lord in this hour. That is the best you can do for your brethren. Your children, what you can simply do for them is to stand in the gap as the light of the world so that they can see the light in you and be saved. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ had his own brothers too. He had his own mother after the flesh. He had his own father after. He had relations after the flesh. See, but you notice that he had to leave all those things. See, he had to leave all those things so that he can enter into that which is true. See, if you still have your affection laid upon the earth with men and all these things, you can, these things still pose as an obstacle to you in your quest to enter into God's kingdom. See it. See, these things, if you say you must stand in the light, you must come to the place where the eyes sees only the light. No more associations in the natural realm. It's not a call to being nasty. It's not a call to being rude. See, but it's a call to being wise and intelligent, so that you are not swept away with the many, many vices of the devil. See, you are not swept away with many, many vices that ruin men in this age. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I have a child who is sick. I have a brother who is sick. What should I do? See, one thing you must realize is that you have brothers and sisters and all over the world who are sick. What of the ones in India? What of the ones who are affected with the earthquake? Do you think they are any less brethren to you than your physical brothers and sisters upon the earth? Hallelujah. The best thing a man can do is to stand in the gap as the light of the world. See, that is the only way you can bring healing to people around you. See, as you stand in the light as the light of the world, somehow the radiating effect of God's healing will get to your brethren after the flesh. It will get to your beloved ones, so one way or the other. See, some of them might have to pass through the grave, but remember that no soul is ever lost. See, some of us who are alive today in the body might have to carry the burden of bringing these departed ones back into the light. Praise God. Bear it in mind that the soul of every man is precious, and God, you know, does not forget anyone. Praise God, because all will eventually be gathered back into him. Because some of them might have to go through longer trials, longer burnings, longer tribulation and all that kind of stuff. But eventually the aim is to bring every man back into the light. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So who shall ascend? See, when we ascend from the natural. We ascend from the physical back into the spiritual. Praise God. See, in that state of consciousness, in that state of being, all offenses cease. In that state of being, we enter back into the rest of God. See, we enter back into perfect harmony with the eternal loving purposes of God the Father. And we are aligned with Him with the myriads of brethren. See, we are all aligned in that Godhead, ruling and reigning and fellowshipping in love and, you know, prospering in all that we do. See, Paul says that we should all labor to enter our rest. We labor to enter our rest as God labored to enter His rest. There's revelation here. Hallelujah. Ascension, we labor to ascend. It comes by faith, but there must be a laboring, an exercise in ourselves. Praise God. And not many people are able to get to the top. Many people get worn out by the time they get halfway. See, when unfavorable conditions come, many people cool off. Praise God. But wherever you are, if you fall in that category, if you hear the voice of this of the Spirit in the hour, this hour, you still have the chance, because the door is never shut. You still have the chance to pick up yourself from where you are falling and begin to come back into God's kingdom. Quickly go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Deep mystery from Paul. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the example of the same example of unbelief. Now, Paul talks of admonishing us here to enter into the rest of God, that we should labor to enter this rest of God. See it? This same labor God did to enter his rest. Now we see this in the creation accounts in Genesis chapter 1, that God labored for 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested from his works. When you read this kind of scriptures literally, there's a tendency to think that this is kind of some kind of reference to God in heaven, who sets out to create physical stars, physical trees, to create the, you know, the monsters, the fishes, and in the oceans, sets out to create the birds in the sky, who sets out to create all the beggarly elements that we see in this world, and after that he rests on the seventh day. See, but we must understand that Genesis chapter 1 is an allegorical reference to you and I. Praise God. Paul understood this thing, that in reality, God is God and God inhabits eternity. There's nothing like day one, day two, day three, in the sense that we know it in this world. God is simply communicating to us through the language of light, consigning a lifting up, a building up, hallelujah, from the ruins of our humanity, and a bringing us back into the place of the blessing. Hallelujah. See, a lot of us have forgotten many things. We have descended so low as men. And you know, we cooked up this thing in our imagination of God somewhere in the sky and we somewhere, you know, upon the earth. But in reality, we all shrunk, descended into a material world, a natural world. See, this is the death with which we all die as we are introduced into this world. Praise God. Now, God's realm remains God's realm. God's realm remains a realm of rest. It remains a realm of peace. It remains the realm of all power, of harmony. See, it remains the realm that is undefiled. Nothing that can defile or make a lie can enter, can penetrate that realm. It is a realm of pure light. See? So when the book of Genesis chapter 1 speaks about God laboring to enter his rest, it's an allegorical reference to the sons of God. Because each and every one of us are simply an instance of God. It is God that propagates himself millions and billions and billions of times and fills himself in every particle, every space, everywhere. He's all in all. Hallelujah. He can appear, he appears in Japan, he appears in America, he appears in Russia, he appears in Afghanistan, he appears in Iraq, he appears everywhere, hallelujah, at the same time. He's the one that propagates himself again and again and again and again and again and again, hallelujah. It's one God, many members, hallelujah. That's why you hear the voice, he says, let us make man in our image and likeness. See it. We see the mystery of God. Though God is one, he's multiple. Many, 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 many spirits that unite to form that one God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in reality, when you see God setting out to, you know, to create, when you see God setting out to repair a desolate world, because the world was filled with darkness, desolation. The world was in ruins. It was in a wilderness state, a barren state. See, a state of pure darkness and ignorance, which is likened to hell. See, this is the state of man who has sunk into the abyss of no knowledge. All men today who do not have a revelation of the truth walk in that dimension of pure darkness. See, the deep is talks of the abyss where there is no light. This is the realm of hell and death. Praise God. And you see, this represents you and I in our humanity. The deadness. See, without form, without void, without form, nothingness, emptiness. See it. A man that enters into this world without getting a revelation of himself is like, just like Ecclesiastes would say, like a stillborn baby that is birthed into this world, and you know, he comes into darkness and he goes off into darkness. He enters into the world without seeing, without hearing, without knowing anything, and he goes off like that. And multitudes follow this way, you know. See, but there's a stirring up today, hallelujah. The spirit of God in man, in you and I. Hallelujah. We have to awake within us. And begin to put an end to darkness. We have to awake today and, you know, destroy that abyss realm in our hearts and in our minds. See, we have to awaken out of the dust. See, this is our labor. Our labor and our groaning is to bring forth Christ, who is the spiritual man. It is to bring forth a man of the spirit, the man of light. This is the labor that of any man who has the revelation of truth. See, the God in you has to stand, arise. You have to awake and labor to repair your world. See, out of that desolate state, we can bring forth a garden. We can bring forth a realm of beauty. We can dig out of that ruins the pearl of great price. Hallelujah. Job chapter 28 verse 1 says that surely there is a vein for silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He set an end to darkness and searched out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh from the inhabitants, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up and they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it comes forth bread. Hallelujah. Under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it has dust of gold. Hallelujah. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vultures' eyes have not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is all reference to the labor of the saints today. Those who have a revelation of truth. See it, man begins to put an end of darkness. You begin to put the end to this darkness, this craziness, this foolishness, as the rays of light begin to penetrate your mind. Hallelujah. Man awakes to what? To put an end to this folly. See, the man is like a miner that begins to dig deep into the places forgotten of men, which is places that the feet of men has not touched. See, he begins to dig into things that men have not seen, neither have they heard. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard these things. But man begins to dig deep into this place until he discovers this treasure, see, of great price. This inestimable treasure. This treasure. Which is the glory of God within his very being. That had been hidden all along in his material consciousness. See it. Out of the earth. Out of that desolation. Out of that, you know, outer desolation and, you know, inglorious appearance comes forth the sapphires, a realm with sapphires, stones of fire. Out of that realm comes of bread, manna. Hallelujah. Out of that realm you discover divinity, dust of God. Praise God. Man begins to rediscover the glory hidden from his sight in his descent into this material state of being. See, it's a realm where the lions, the vultures, the birds of prey, this is the human consciousness, the natural man, the greedy man, the foul man, has no access, no idea of. See, men go around in circles, looking for solutions. See, but eyes have not seen, ears heard the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Hallelujah. Man is unable to search out this mystery. But it's only the eternal spirit within you. It's only as you are waking from the illusion of your mortality that you begin to discover that glorious life within you. See it. But the miner has to labor. He has to work. See, those of you who know what mining is all about, you know it's about digging. Digging and laboring and continuity. Not giving up. You don't just dig halfway and suddenly you give up. See, when you dig for days and months and years, some people go on for years. Keep digging and, you know, along the line, some give up. But if you are persistent, because that mystery, that glory is there. It's within every man. This is the kingdom of God within you. Christ says the kingdom is within you. See, the kingdom is God. God's realm. God's dimension. Hallelujah. It's all within you. See, forget about all the manifestations in the flesh, imperfections that pop in here and there, and contradictory reports, your family members, one is sick, something happened the other day, that. Forget all that. It does not change the fact that treasure is there. And we must be persistent, continuous in laying a hold on that truth. This is the labor of God. Like I said, God in this example is an instance of you and I. See, God's world is in ruins. That is you and I. Our world is in ruins when we live in the illusion of mortality, when we live as earthly material beings. Then we begin to suffer lack. We begin to suffer fear. See it. We're unable to be satisfied. And many, many, many ills that we see today, you know, the evil nature, inability to love, inability to manifest the fruits of the Spirit. It's all because we live in the illusion of a material age, you know, where we walk as men. We have descended from the infinite realm of God into the finite. We have been descended so low and forgotten, you know, the whole picture of what we truly are. Praise God. So you see, those 6 days of labor is simply a spiritualization. It's a confirmation back to the heavenly. See, it's a confirmation back into the spiritual. Praise God. When God says, let there be light on day one, see, he brings forth the day. The day is a people. See, it's a people that walk in pure light. The night is a people that walk in the ignorance of the flesh. That is the night. That is the dimension of the dead. See, when there is no love, no harmony, where people walk in discord, that is the night. But when we come into the light, we discover that we are all one. Because there is, in the light, there is only the light. But in the dark, or in the night, you see all kind of shades. Shades of this and that. Praise God. So day one, God brings forth the day, which is the people. On day two, he energizes the waters and causes an ascension so that some waters form clouds upon the above the firmament of the heaven. These clouds represent spiritual entities. It represents spiritual bodies. It represents the spiritual state of those who are in the resurrection. Paul says that at the sound of the, you know, archangel, the last trumpet, the dead in Christ shall be raised up. And they shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the cloud. Now, the cloud represents the Lord's body. It's a company of people that are above, not below. See, so God separates those clouds there from the waters below. Those clouds up there represent the people that are celestial, spiritual. See, on the tree, he brings forth the trees. Fruitful trees. Remember that in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, say darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth was without form and void. There must have been trees there also. Those trees were probably trees that yield thorns. See, have you been to a wilderness before? You see the kind of trees in the wilderness? I'm talking of a very, very harsh wilderness. You see cactus. See, trees that are unable to bear fruit. But God brings forth the trees that bear fruit and seed on the third day. Praise God, these are the plantings of God. These are the trees of life. These are the very trees that, you know, you see in the Garden of Eden. These are people. See, it's only, you know, trees, only the spirit that can bear fruit. Jesus Christ says, by their fruits you will know them. You can't bear the fruits and the attributes of God, the peaceful attributes of God, the loving attributes of God, the all power of God cannot be manifest in those who walk in the flesh. It's only manifest in those who walk in the spirit. See, that which produces fruit is spirit. Flesh is barren. Flesh cannot produce spirit, it cannot produce fruit. So God is talking about a spiritualization of a people, the plantings of the Lord. These are the plantings of the Lord planted with the incorruptible seed of God to bring forth the very attributes of God upon the earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is the third day. On the fourth day, God brings forth the illuminary bodies, the stars, the sun, hallelujah, that illumine the world, the night and all that. See, those stars today, like we know, represent you and I. These are those walking in the true resurrection light bodies. These are the ones that walk in, you know, immortality, incorruption. Hallelujah. The stars of God. Praise God. God is converting us back to bear, to walk as the light of the world, no more in the dimension of the moon. You know, the moon receives its light from the sun. He has no light of his own. See, that is the deadened consciousness of those who walk in the flesh. See, we have to awake and realize that within every man there is a star. Within every man there is a light body. Hallelujah. This is the resurrection body. If you look at the book of Corinthians 15, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we notice that Paul talked about these illuminary bodies. So he talks about the glories of the heavenly bodies. This represents you and I in the resurrection. See, the labor of God in you and I is to bring forth this light attribute, this light body that is already there. It's a perfect immaterial light body that is suited for heavenly places. It's not a terrestrial body. That is you and I. Praise God. The Alpha and the Omega says that to him that overcometh, I will give the morning star. To him that overcometh, will put on the attribute of the morning star. The attribute of perfection, attribute of pure light. It's a light balls, light bodies. Praise God. So you can see all through this thing that God is talking about an assumption, a spiritualization, an awakening from the natural into the spiritual. This is the only way we can find the rest and perfection that we seek. Perfection is not found as if we retain our lives in this world. It cannot be found. We must let go of that life in this world and enter back into that eternal dimension of God. Hallelujah. On the fifth day, God brings forth the winged creatures. Creatures with wings. You know, the eagle soars into the heights. The peak of God's creation. See, the winged creatures have the ability to soar in the heavens. See, it talks of a spiritual consciousness. See, that is developed in every man that knows truth. See it. You have the creatures of the deep. These are the sea monsters, creatures of the deep. See, this is the image we all walked in ignorance. That is the lower part of the earth. But you have those who soar in the heavens, in God, who have the ability to fly. That is the consciousness we put on in Christ. Gives us wings to mount up into the spiritual peaks of Zion. On the sixth day, God creates man in his image and likeness. A perfect man, a spiritual man. See, the image of God is spirit. The image of God is light. The image of God is invisible. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is the perfect man. A celestial man who has the dominion of God and all, and a kingdom that never passes away. That is the image Christ walked in. That is the image of Christ. Praise God. See, God there and there separated man, makes a distinction between man and beast. Right there in Genesis, on the sixth day. The beast talks of the lower realms. The beasts talk of the lower consciousness we walked in as men. In our natural, when we walk as men, in our natural understanding as men. Hallelujah. So our labor is to erase that nature of the beast, to erase the name of the beast, to erase all the attributes of mortality and that natural life we had upon the earth, to lay a hold on that which is spiritual, that which is eternal. That is that which is true. That is the Son of God who is from eternity. See, all these six, this labor, like we have all seen, talks about a confirmation back to that which is heavenly. We are not of this world. It talks about an ascension. See, when all this is accomplished in us, we begin to see light. We begin to enjoy the rest of God. When you are rested, you are ruling and reigning. Everything is under your control. You have the dominion. Everything, there's no fear, no worries, because all is under your control. Oh, praise God. You see, if you look at Genesis chapter 2, from verse 4, you will notice that the creation account in Genesis chapter 1 is simply that formation of that man, Adam, who was placed in the Garden of Eden. See it, I'll just read briefly. Genesis chapter 2 verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Hallelujah. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Hallelujah. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the earth, of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord planted the garden in the east of Eden, and he placed man whom he had formed. Praise God. Let's stop there. Hallelujah. So we see here that this is a summary of the work of God in Genesis chapter 1. See, God was simply trying to raise man out of that sense of mortality. Praise God. And that is the working in you and I today, to breathe truth into ourselves, breathe understanding into us, and cause us to ascend back into the dimension of spirit. See, the dimension of spirit is where you have the paradise of God. See, the dimension of spirit is where you find the rest of God. The Garden of Eden represents pure spirit, spirit consciousness. A place of, you know, streams of living water, gold of Havala, precious stones. See, this is similar to the New Jerusalem that we read in the book of Revelation, the last chapters. A city made with precious stones, pavements of gold. In the midst of the city, there's that same river of life flowing through. You have the trees of life on other bank of the river in the New Jerusalem. See, that realm that Adam enters into is a spiritual realm. The New Jerusalem is a spiritual realm of glory and beauty and peace, joy unspeakable. Hallelujah. So you see, the labor is to awaken the sons of God. Awaken them. See it. Awaken them out of the ruins of their humanity, the desolations of their lowly human state, back into the glorious state of the Son of God, who inhabits the spirit realm. The Son of God inhabits the spirit realm where there is no time, no space, no nothing. It's a realm of delight without beginning, without end. Of course, we are quick to know that Adam in the Garden of Eden is not a man. Adam in the Garden of Eden represents an entity without beginning, without end. He represents pure spirit. In that state, he is one with God. In that state, there is no God here and man there. It's just God. If you remember the prayer of Jesus, Jesus Christ said that they may be one as we are one. The prayer of Jesus is that they may be one as we are one. Now, that is, it's not just talking about you and I being one with each other, but rather it's talking about we being one with the Father as He is one with the Father. See, when that union is consciously achieved in man, he enters into the realm of all possibilities. He enters into the realm of the infinite, where all things are possible. And all things are beautiful. All things are glorious. Hallelujah. Where he lives with unlimited blessings. Hallelujah. We define it as the blessing. But the Son has to ascend. Praise God. The Son has to ascend. The Son is not just a hearer, but he is a doer. He must receive these words of truth as he hears them in this hour. And his labor is to awaken out of that lowly state in mortality back into the light, where he can be seated in heavenly places and consciously realize this thing that we are saying today. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the realm that God has opened to us right from the days of the appearing of the gospel of Christ. Every man has access now, this hour, to stand in that place. Just by faith, speak it. By faith, walk in it. By faith, confess your spirituality. By faith, confess your origin in God. By faith, walk as that man who inhabits the Garden of Eden. And by faith, do these things that you hear, and you will discover that you are already there. Praise God. So I'll round up by posing this question again. Who shall ascend? Who shall ascend the holy hill of the Lord? Who? Who shall stand in that place? Who shall stand in the holy place of God? See, these are the people that God is looking for in this hour. People that will actually bring fruit unto the name of God. It calls for patience, continuity, and the willingness to let go. Let go of all. Let go of all the cares of life and begin to enter into that place of perfection. God bless you.
Sure.